Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hold one. Arm drag.
Don't tell me.
Hit the Books, the only weekly fantasy booking podcast, SmackDown versus Raw fantasy booking podcast, I should say, hosted by us. I am your host, Ryan 19. With me, as always, is my co-host, the man of a thousand nicknames, Mikey Manfredi. Mikey, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Hopefully I have a good card this time, so I don't... Listen.
Immediately broke me.
I got it week one, and then the fans turned on me.
Yeah. Wow. Blame the fans. What a WWE.
My booking was a little rough, I will say that. So hopefully, spoiler alert, by the way, fans, I lost in the polls this week.
Yeah.
So Ryan will be hitting me with that randomizer.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of Hit the Books. We're coming off of Money in the Bank, baby. Big
yeah.
Pay-per-view. I hope everyone... We got a lot of positive buzz and
our
reviews.
Our return home show.
Yes. We got a lot of positive buzz about how we handled the men's and women's Money in the Bank matches. So that's always great to hear. And thank you so much for listening. Even if you're a new listener, thank you so much for listening. We are a SmackDown vs. Raw booking podcast. So that means that every week, Mikey and I write our own episodes of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown respectively, and we sort of, as a surprise, present them to each other, and you, as the audience, gets to vote weekly who had the better card. And like Mikey said, the polls came in for last week's episode. We didn't do a poll for the Money in the Bank, obviously, because it was a pay-per-view, but we did the poll for last week's episode, and the polls came back as a win, another win, like Mikey said, for Ryan's Raw, 55.6% of the vote versus Mikey SmackDown, 44.4. Very close. Very, very close matchup. Literally, mm-hmm. I won by one vote. But yes, that officially means that I am 1-2-3-1. It is 3-1 Raw. Raw's
favorite. Your record at the end of this is going to look like Undertaker's, where it's like 21-1.
I'm
gonna be like, I was that one, Ryan.
I hope not. I'm
gonna be the Brock Lesnar to your Undertaker.
I want Mikey.
I'm the one, baby.
I want Mikey to beat me, but also I don't because I have so many structured storylines planned out that one. It's like Kerplunk or Jenga or whatever. You know, you pull one block out and the whole thing is gonna go tumbling. And I'm like, ah, shit. For example, I guess we'll get to the examples when we start the show, really. We've already had some examples in the past. But yeah, so thank you everybody for listening. SmackDown versus Raw, Mikey's handling SmackDown. Mikey, you lost, so let's hear what's happening on SmackDown.
All right, so Randy Orton opens up SmackDown with an announcement to the WWE Universe. He said that what you all saw at Money in the Bank was the beginning of a very lucrative partnership between me and my associate. The lights go out and then come back on, and Finn Balor is standing beside Randy Orton. Orton continues with, "You see, our missions here on SmackDown happen to align. I'm here to make this place a more upscale show, and my friend here wants to put the SmackDown locker room on notice that he is more dangerous than ever. And maybe get a little revenge along the way. So if any classless idiot in that SmackDown locker room wants to step up to us, we'll be waiting. In the meantime, though, I believe you have a match tonight. Orton heads to the commentary table, and the Demon prepares for in-ring for his match up next.
Oh, shit. Okay, hold on. First off, very much talking points here. The thing I was thinking about as you're presenting this new side, these new characters, of course, we have sort of like political in charge universal champion Randy Orton, mm-hmm. and then this sort of like creature, monster, demon, Finn Balor. I immediately thought about Lucha Underground, and I thought about, what was it? Dario Cueto and Montanza. Montanza. And I was like, there's a little Dario Cueto action here happening. I love it. You know I'm a big fan of Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
And Orton then we got a match, right? Orton next?
Orton is like proclaiming himself as like the almost like he's almost like putting himself in Dario Cueto's position for SmackDown. He wants to like run things.
But also he's not in charge.
He has no real say in what happens at all.
He has no real power. He's the Universal Champion, so he has like some sway, I guess. Mm-hmm. And has been for a very long time. I've been slowly moving the archive over to working on the website stuff, and I've been like tracking like championship stuff. Randy Orton, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, became Universal.
Randy Orton has inadvertently, just like by randomness, held so many titles.
Yes. Remember at one time he was the Universal and United States Champion at the same exact time?
At the same time, right? Like, so weird.
Randy Orton won the Universal Championship while he was the United States Champion by cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase he won last year.
So at one point, Orton
at SummerSlam,
had the,
I think.
At one point, Orton had the United States title with the Money in the Bank, mm-hmm. which then he used to get the Money in the Bank and he used the Money in the Bank to get the United States and Universal. It's just wild how much Randy Orton has been a player in our universe.
Yes, yes. It's one of those things where it's like the background storylines that are happening, you know? Randy Orton won it August 11th, 2019, and has been champion since. What's the day? May 15th, 2020.
Wild.
Long reign for Universal Champion. And now he's got the Demon on his side, so it's going to look very longer. Very longer? Just move on to the rest of your card.
So, match one, like I said, is the Demon is preparing for his match, who is opening up SmackDown. We have the Demon versus Mojo Rawley, in which the Demon gets the win very quickly.
I mean, yeah. Come on.
This is a squash match.
Yeah, it's Mojo Rawley, baby.
All right, and after that, we have a segment. We have Ruby Riott is gearing up in the locker room before her match tonight, and here's a knock on the door. Riott says, come in, and the Undisputed Era enter. Ruby says, what the hell was that at Money in the Bank? Cole steps up and says, whoa, 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 whoa. Easy. That's what we came to talk about. Look, last time we were on SmackDown, we made a pretty big entrance. And now that we're back, we have big plans for this place. But we need help executing those plans. So consider Money in the Bank a scouting mission. We see potential in you, Riott. And if you win your match tonight against Candice LeRae, consider this an offer. He hands Ruby Riott an Undisputed Era armband, and the crew rolls out and leaves Riott to consider the offer.
Ban out, bow, bow, ban out. Okay, cool. So he at Money in the Bank, give me a refresher what happened at Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, Candice LeRae and Ruby Riott were on the ladder together fighting over the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then Era came in and they pulled Riott off of the ladder and then tipped Candice LeRae off of the ladder.
Yes. So Riott is upset with Undisputed Era because in a way, interfered in the match, but also did not help her win. Like, didn't help her win, but just sort of hurt her chances. Because then they also essentially knocked over the ladder and left. So,
they basically just took out Candice LeRae and left. Is what happened.
Interesting. They got beef. Mm-hmm. They got a big slapping thick beef on their plate. Anyways,
I mean, we all know of the history between Candice LeRae and Adam Cole.
Oh, speaking of beef, can I give a
I guess if you don't. In the independent scene, Adam Cole and Candice LeRae basically hated each other.
Can I give a quick, speaking of beef, Mikey, can I give a quick Taco Bell Taco Tuesday update?
Please do.
Taco Bell So, you know, so the past couple of weeks, you know, Taco Bell has been giving out these free tacos every Tuesday because of the coronavirus. Very nice thing of them to do. Then, on Cinco Mayo last week, Taco Bell unveiled a taco party pack, which is like 12 tacos or something. It's like some insane number or whatever. Also, the idea is...
Yeah. 12, what an insane number to think of. What an insane number to fathom in my brain.
Well, the idea is that, like, I think the idea originally, I guess, was probably for... was that, like, you can share these with your friends on Cinco de Mayo. And then I think they changed the advertising to eat it with your family on Cinco de Mayo. Because I think the idea is, like, they're share. It's a huge party pack that you're supposed to, like, buy to cater an event or whatever. I don't know.
Did you just buy the party pack for yourself and then slam 12 tacos?
No, I didn't do that at all. Because if you know me of these Taco Tuesday updates, Mikey, I don't
do... Or did
you
slam 12 tacos and then you're free one, so you slam 13?
No. When they did that, Mikey, they stopped giving out free tacos.
Unbelievable.
I was appalled, frankly. I was appalled. I've been speaking their Bible for weeks now, and then all of a sudden they're like, no more free tacos. Instead, buy 20 tacos for, I don't know, $1 billion or whatever. And I'm like, what am I made of, cash? I know. So I think I haven't been to Taco Bell in 2 weeks.
Damn.
Is the end of that story. It's like, I legit have not been to Taco Bell in a while.
Dude.
Again, I could be going to Taco Bell for lunch today, but that's besides the point. I'm just upset. You know, they were giving out free tacos at weekly, and then it's all over, and now I'm crying about it. And I don't.
I'm so sorry.
And I don't really know how to feel. And I just, you know, I just. You know what? I gotta pull myself together. And Mikey, just, you know, I'll pull myself together. Mikey, just finish the rest of your card now. I'll pull myself together.
All right. Next up, after that segment with Ruby Riott and Undisputed Era, we have our second match. We have Mustache Mountain versus Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, and Mustache Mountain pull out the win. We're just trying to get established some more tag teams. We're just trying to make a scene happen here. So gotta feature some of the tag teams that haven't been featured as much. So here we are.
Yes. Yeah. Mustache Mountain becoming the new scene kids.
Yes.
SmackDown.
Obviously. They're gonna dye their respective facial hair black.
And they're gonna iron it. What flat iron it? That's the phrase. I don't know. Scene. I was never a scene kid.
So next up, we have a video package. One Nation are in a dark room again, and Cruz begins to speak. A count of 10. A simple thing, really, yet so devastating in the right context. Tozawa and I beat you and your stupid little partner into the ground, Mustafa. I think that we all knew what was going to happen from the beginning. We're a dominant force on SmackDown, and we proved it to you and to them. So Tozawa and I have our sights set on an even greater prize, the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Ooh!
When we finally achieve our destiny to become great, we will ascend to the status of legends, and no one will be able to bring us down. Ooh. So heavy machinery, watch your backs.
I like it. I like it a lot. You built up this heel tag team, and now they're going for the gold, as it were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like Heavy Machinery needed a heel challenge instead of just being like, you're good, we're good, let's fight. So I think this could be an interesting story arc for them, and also Ali and One Nation couldn't feud forever.
True.
So I feel like I need to throw One Nation a little somewhere and a little elsewhere, and what better than the tag team championships and really establish them as a... that they're getting noticed and getting that recognition that they've been fighting for so long.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it a lot.
After that, we have the match between Ruby Riott and Candice LeRae. And Riott wins when Fish and O'Reilly distract the referee, and Cole holds Candice LeRae in place so Ruby can get off a Riott kick.
Ooh.
And then after Riott wins, Undisputed Era raises Riott's hand in victory, and Adam Cole grabs a mic and says, "What do you say, Ruby? You want to be part of the most dominant faction in SmackDown history?" Ruby puts on the armband and holds up the UE with her hands, and the rest join in, and they leave together.
Wow. 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 Undisputed Era gaining a whole nother member. Ruby Riott effectively turning heel here.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. You could have turned Candice LeRae heel, Mikey. You could have had her join Undisputed Era.
That would have been great. But I don't know. I don't know if they. I don't know if Adam Cole would have been a fan of that. But here we are, Ruby Riott in Undisputed Era, after beating Candice LeRae with the help of Undisputed Era, and we'll see where they go from here.
Yes, I like it. I like it. I like heel Ruby Riott joining Undisputed Era. I'm excited to see where the rest of this goes. Especially if, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Also, this is the second time we've introduced a new person into Undisputed Era since we started booking the show. Originally it was Mike Kanellis.
And then that went so well.
That sort of ended when Mike Kanellis... Well, all of Undisputed Era went to Raw, and we had no longer anything to do with them. And then I think Mike Kanellis potentially left, or he got moved to 205 Live or something. I was just like, oh, I guess it ended for him over there.
All right, so after that match, we have another backstage interview with the Iconics about being the new women's tag team champions. They say it's so great to have these titles back around our waist where they rightfully belong, not to some so-called best friends like Sasha and Bayley, but to some real best friends and the best of tag team partners, us. Banks and Bayley step in, and Bayley says, well, if you're so confident about being the best partners, how about a rematch tonight with the titles on the line?
Wow.
The Iconics immediately refuse and try to walk away, but as soon as they turn around, they run into GM Page, who says, you know what, Bayley? That's a great idea. Our main event tonight will be Banks and Bayley versus the Iconics for the Women's Tag Team Championships. And the Iconics storm off upset.
Okay. A Money in the Bank rematch for the titles.
Money in the Bank rematch for the titles, yes.
I like it. The one thing I really like about your booking, Mikey, is that you're really focused on giving a lot of spotlight to the women's division. Mm-hmm. You have multiple women's matches throughout your cards all the time, which I very much love.
Yeah. Gotta give everybody that spotlight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we have match number 4 between another member of Undisputed, Roderick Strong, versus Humberto Carrillo, in which Roderick Strong takes home the victory.
Okay. Okay. Again, establishing the...
Up era a little bit.
Yeah, establishing era as a force. I like it.
And now we have a segment with none other than SmackDown's own Mr. Money in the Bank. Sami Zayn comes to the ring with his Money in the Bank briefcase and says, Sami Zayn, Mr. Money in the Bank. It's got a nice ring to it, right? At Money in the Bank, I beat all those other idiots who thought they had a chance and walked away with a contract that gave me a shot at any title at any time I see fit. Will I go after the Universal? Maybe I'll jump ship and go after Brock Lesnar on Raw. Or maybe I can grab a partner and go after the tag team division. Who knows? There are infinite possibilities for me, and I don't plan on giving anyone a heads up, unlike some other dopes in the past. And he does a little "you can't see me" hand sign at the camera.
Oh, interesting! You're planting seeds for a Sami Zayn John Cena match.
I plan on striking when the iron is hot and making the most out of an opportunity. So watch out, champions. Sami Zayn might just be coming your way. And Sami Zayn leaves.
Sami Zayn, the ultimate opportunist. You're sitting.
I almost made another reference, but I was like, no, we can't just have Sami Zayn just making callbacks to everyone during this promo.
Sami Zayn going after Edge, John
Cena.
Just
wanted to give a little like play on Cena giving his like Money in the Bank announcement to Punk like a week before. He was like, you have a week.
And then he lost.
Exactly. He's an idiot for doing that.
I believe he was the first person that lost, if I'm not mistaken. I think either Damian Sandow or Baron Corbin was next.
I mean, probably, yeah, that's fair.
God, Damian Sandow. What a guy.
So, after that promo by Sami Zayn, we have our main event, Banks and Bayley versus the Iconics for the SmackDown, or not for the SmackDown, for the Women's Tag Team Championships. And the Iconics pick up the win after Kay gets a roll-up on Bayley and holds the tights for a little heel action to aid in the pinfall. Banks and Bayley are upset about their loss, and Bayley begins to make her way out of the ring. But before she can, Sasha Banks hits Bayley with a backstabber and puts Bayley in the bank statement until refs and GM Page come to break them up, and Banks leaves with Bayley screaming in pain in the ring.
Wow.
And we have Banks turning on Bayley.
Wow. You got to... Wow. Wow. Okay, hold on. There's so much to unpack here. Okay, first off, you got a heel versus heel tag team title match. Iconics win with the tights.
Well, in this situation, Banks and Bayley were a little bit face for just for this, but now not anymore. Or one of them, at least.
And then Banks, following the match, Banks, presumably blaming Bayley, turns heel on Bayley, who then turns face officially.
Yep.
Wow. So much to unpack. Holy crap. Yeah. What is that, your main event?
Yes.
Holy shit.
That's how SmackDown comes to a close, of Banks leaving and Bayley is in pain in the ring, and that's how we fade to black.
Jesus, Aleister Black's back? Oh my god. Well, there you go. That's SmackDown for
and
you,
that's
baby.
That's SmackDown for you. Yeah, that's my card.
Holy crap. Holy crap. So many heel turns, so many heels and faces.
Listen, I realized after Money in the Bank that my heels and faces got a little uneven in spots, so I needed to fix that.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I'm interested to see what you have.
And I figured that Banks and Bayley can have their singles, can be single stars for a little while.
Yes. Yes.
I think it'll work out.
I like it. I'm interested to see what you have set up eventually for Backlash, our next pay per view. Happening in 5 weeks, I believe.
5 weeks.
Yes. I'm excited. It's a very small pay-per-view, so I'm excited to see what we sort of have set up there. That was awesome. That was a great SmackDown. I'm so sad. I did win, so I'm going to have to ruin it slightly. Or make it better. I don't know. There is a chance I could just give you a call-up. You know what I mean? Like, there's a chance I'll just give you a call-up. Because I was thinking about that. Since it's like I'm basically rolling on you, there's a chance that I could give you a call up or, you know, give you some sort of thing. I was just like, oh, geez. Well, let's hope I heard it more. And because that's the whole point. I want to mess with you. I want to make it hard on you. I'm going to mess with your stees, your style.
I'm terrified to see what that means, but here we are.
I'm terrified to see how my stees is going to be affected. Ooh.
Oh no.
Mikey, I rolled the randomizer.
Oh no, Ryan, please don't.
I rolled the randomizer, folks. And thank you again for everybody for voting and liking what I did for Monday Night Raw. Even if I just eked out a victory, I'm glad people enjoyed it. But I did get hit the randomizer, Mikey, and I rolled a double booking.
Oh no.
Hit the randomizer twice for two random actions.
Yes.
That's a big old gasp for you. You're getting not just one, but two randomizer hits on you. This could be bad. This could be... This is what you've done, folks. This is what you do. You like my shit? This is what I do. I destroy his livelihood. I just go after his steez and eat it up, please. Does that make sense? Probably not. Mikey, for your first randomizer hit, you have a minor injury.
Oh, no, not another one.
It's not too bad, of course. Roll a D, whatever, to see what wrestler gets hurt, then a D4 minus one to see how many weeks they're out. While I roll the next one, do you want to count up who wrestled on your show?
Yeah, let's see.
While I roll this secondary hit. Let's see. What do we got here?
9, 10.
Oh, okay. Okay.
14. 14 people I wrestled on my card today.
14 people? Okay, so let's roll a D14. Let's roll a D14 for you, Mikey. And it was number 9 gets injured. Who was number 9?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 is Roderick Strong.
Okay, so I'm now going to roll a D4, and we're going to do minus 1 on that. 2. I rolled a 2. Mikey, Roderick Strong's out for 1 week.
Okay, so I can't use Roderick Strong next week.
I
couldn't use Ember Moon this week.
That's fine. You know, that's fine. Honestly, Roderick Strong out for 1 week. Good thing you have an entire stable of roster people to, like,
It's like my superstars are just, like, wrestling a little too dangerously where they're like, ah, fuck.
It's like they're putting a thumb in their fist and then really wanking it on the wrist. Does that make sense? Is wanking it the proper term?
I get it now.
I rolled the second one for you as well. It was a gimmick match. Make a match a gimmick match.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting for you. I'm interested to see.
So while I think about that, do you want to present your raw card while I think about what match could be a gimmick?
Sure. Let's get going on it. Monday Night Raw opens up with, there's not much to really say about it. It's opening up with Becky Lynch's pregnancy announcement.
That's fair enough.
Becky Lynch, of course, in real life, like this show would have been, she announced that she's pregnant. It is weird that she just competed a Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, but guess what? I didn't know that she was pregnant. What am I, Seth Rollins? So Becky Lynch announces that she's pregnant, and that she will not be able to compete, presumably for the next, at the very least, 9 or so months, 10, 11, how long after that. But she will not be competing, for any time being. Mikey, I feel like this is a proper time. I should say, congratulations to both Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins, the father. It's amazing. It's amazing that, Becky Lynch at the top of her game is pregnant, and she's leaving behind a division that maybe needs a leader, but she's fine. I think she's carved out a great path for her, and I think she's carved out a path that's like, it's okay for you to leave at the top of your game, because families are families. You want to start a family, and that's also and perfect. You can't just not have a family to try to make a career awesome.
I agree.
I love what Becky Lynch and Seth are doing, and I love that they're bringing a new amazing wrestler into the world. I can't wait. Mikey, we're gonna have so many amazing wrestlers down the line. We have Triple H's children, the Hardy children, both Jeff and Matt's. We got Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. We got all these children that are coming along the way, and I'm like, oh, geez. Randy Orton's child's going to probably wrestle. These children.
Can you imagine the wrestling prodigy that is Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch's kid?
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing, and I can't wait. I can't wait for the future. I do want to say, Mikey, as excited as I am for...
They're going to be like a wrestling prodigy and like a coffee prodigy.
That's true. While I am excited for Becky Lynch and Seth, Mike, I do want to talk about what this does for me. Becky Lynch is obviously announcing that she's pregnant, so that means we talked about it, Mikey. I'm not saying it's an injury. I'm just saying that I would feel uncomfortable putting her in more matches, especially when I'm knowing in real life she's pregnant, and our gimmick of the show is to kind of replicate what would happen in real life.
That is fair enough.
So Becky Lynch is gone. I can't use Becky Lynch anymore for at least probably 9 months. Who knows, longer, up to a year maybe. So that sucks because I didn't have a lot of faces on my division. And she was one of the top. She was the top face. And so I need to figure out some stuff. I was sort of going. The idea of what I was going to do next. Let me reveal this. The idea I had brewing next was sort of like Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax, now that they have the Raw Women's Championship and the Miss Money in the Bank briefcase. They were going to sort of say that they're getting all the admiration that they deserve, because basically they were going to be shitting on the four horsewomen who get all the accolades, unlike them, who really deserve it. Then Becky Lynch can defend that. But also Shayna Baszler, who is a four horsewoman in a different sense, could also be involved. So it's kind of setting up a Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler team up.
Interesting.
Versus Genetic Goddesses. And would have unveiled in spun out into a whole different thing that I kind of still use. I'm not going to say what that is. But yeah, so that's all scrapped. Becky Lynch is gone.
That would have been really cool though. I'm sorry that got scrapped for you, bud.
Yeah, I'm still using some aspects of it, but obviously it's not the exact same thing. The story aspect is gone, or the motive, I guess, is gone. I guess I'll figure it out. The thing I'm really upset about is that Becky Lynch is gone, which means that my next top babyface is Natalya or Carmella. my women faces are Natalya, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Rhea Ripley. I really don't have much to work with right
now. That's not bad though. I think Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan could step up and shine in that role.
I agree. And that's what I'm hoping to groom them for. It's just, I think it's, that's not yet. I think it's not yet. I have time. I just have to figure some stuff out, which I will do, and I will figure that out. And I have ideas. I have plans. I told Mikey, I sat down trying to figure this out, and I figured out a bunch of stuff about it, and I think I have a good idea, assuming that I don't get screwed in the polls. And all my Jacob blocks come apart. Because I book way in advance. I have, like, weeks out booked. I have parts of my SummerSlam card already planned out. And that's not till like August.
Booking way far ahead, especially when you could possibly get randomizered, is very bold.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That, like, unless if I get Jenga, then I'm screwed. If I get kerplunked, I guess get hit by a bunch of marbles, then I'm screwed. But anyways, that's it for the pregnancy announcement. Let's move on to the next match, which was LLC versus The New Day. Of course, Xavier Woods and Big E. Kofi Kingston still out. LLC, Bobby Lashley, and Cesaro with, of course, Lana taking on The New Day. LLC pick up the victory over The New Day here, Mikey.
Ooh, big win for them.
Yes, big win for the LLC, sort of still establishing them as a force. And a little bit of a, it was a chance for redemption, I guess you could say, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because LLC was sort of running amok in that mini tournament.
Yeah.
Anyways, next up, backstage interview with none other than Keith Lee, where he is asked about the whole Aleister Black situation. Of course, Aleister Black being knocked out several weeks ago and missing out on his Money in the Bank qualifying match against Keith Lee. Keith Lee, of course, being the ever baby face that he is, congratulates Becky first and then says that he wishes the best in Black's recovery. He's an amazing competitor and he can't wait to face him when he comes back. If I'm limitless, he's right up there with me. The interviewer asks how he feels not being in the Money Bank match, seeing that Roman replaced Black in the qualifying match and beat him. Keith Lee says Roman is an amazing man and an even better competitor. He gave me an opportunity when no one else would, so I returned the favor. You know, then the powers that be granted a third outing. I love Roman. I have tremendous respect for the man. The interviewer then suggests that it's weird that Roman wanted to get into the match, then Black got knocked out, and if Lee thinks that whole situation is possibly weird, if, you know, there's some sort of motive, whatever. You know, Keith Lee says, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Roman's a locker room leader, and I truly respect the man. I cannot fathom him doing such a thing. Again, he was willing to give me a shot at his WWE Championship, assuming I could earn it, which is fair, of course. He's just a great guy. But Keith Lee admits that now with the current WWE Champion, he might not be given the same opportunities ever again. So he has huge respect for Roman, but now he's got to sort of look forward. So, Brock, Paul Heyman, I want a shot. I think I've proved myself. Let me face Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship, and everyone can fully bask in my glory.
I love it. That's awesome. I love Keith Lee proclaiming that he wants a spot and that he's earned it through everything. And I agree. I think it's he's got it, honestly. Like he deserves it, and it's especially with the weird circumstances going on.
Yes, yes. How do you feel about Keith Lee defending Roman Reigns?
It's interesting for sure because Roman does seem like the prime suspect.
Mm-hmm.
I
ask you all these questions because I need to know. I'm like, what do you think?
It's interesting because Roman does seem like the most guilty party here, but, I like that Keith Lee is like, nah, Roman didn't do it until it's proven Roman did it. And I still got his back. He's done so much for this business. I like the respect there.
Yes, he's a man all about respect. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next match. It was a tag match. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Bianca Belair and Naomi. A Money in the Bank rematch, as it were. And unlike Money in the Bank, Bianca Belair and Naomi get the victory here tonight.
Ooh.
So good on them. Next up is a backstage interview with Sheamus, where he is asked about if he possibly attacked Aleister Black. Sheamus is insulted, saying that he is an Irishman, and like great Irishmen before him, quote, "We love to fight."
We love to fight.
Sure, Black was annoying the crap out of me, but I fight people in public, not in catering. The interviewer says that it's just interesting that you attacked Aleister Black after his match 2 weeks ago. Sheamus cuts her off, saying that his goal is the Intercontinental Championship, and frankly, Black stepped in front of my path. I'm glad someone took him out to clear my path, but I didn't knock the man out, and then leaves.
Nice.
I didn't knock the fella out. There we go. Little typo there.
Boom.
But yes, Sheamus saying that he did not attack another person, coming forward and saying that I did not attack Aleister Black. Who attacked Aleister Black?
Who did it? Not me.
Not me. That's all I know. next up is another Money in the Bank rematch, which is Ricochet versus King Corbin. And again, unlike Money in the Bank, King Corbin gets the win here.
All right. Not all right, but it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. After the match, King Corbin then beats down Ricochet even further. Just, you know, sort of like, this is what you get for beating me. I beat you, and guess what? I'm going to beat you further, baby. But who makes the save, Mikey? None other than Cedric Alexander. Newly acquired to Raw, Cedric Alexander makes the save.
All right. That's awesome.
Yes, making a splash, unlike just the Battle Royal. He's making a full splash into the roster.
Not just any splash, but a full splash.
I like my splashes full.
I like big splashes when I show up, thank you.
Perfect. Next up, video package. This is video package just showing the Miz winning the Battle Royal, and then the DQ finish that happened at Money in the Bank in that Intercontinental title match. So just sort of highlights of Miz's journey, I guess, in Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is a singles match, Nia Jax with Alexa Bliss versus Carmella. You know, Carmella and Nia Jax both in the Money in the Bank match at Money in the Bank. This match is sort of gets interrupted slightly when Shayna Baszler jumps the rails and attacks Alexa Bliss.
Whoa.
Throwing her into the guardrail? No, barricade, whatever. Just over and over again or whatever. And this sort of kind of distraction, all this stuff, basically, essentially, allows Carmella to pick up the victory over Nia Jax, over Miss Money in the Bank herself, Nia Jax.
I love it.
Big win for Carmella.
Very big win for Carmella.
And then finally, in our main event, Mikey, we have a match that sort of brewed over last week. Last week's episode, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it was. And it is AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns. Of course, Roman Reigns.
Big match.
Roman Reigns was asked if he attacked Black. He said no and sort of alluded to the fact that it could have been Sheamus or AJ Styles. AJ Styles was asked, and he was like, why is get my name out of Roman's mouth? And that led to this main event matchup, AJ Styles versus Roman Reigns. The winner of this match is AJ Styles. So AJ Styles sort of gets his moment of redemption here over Roman Reigns, even though he is a
heel. Right. I like the big win for AJ.
Is it like for good guys?
Especially over Roman Reigns. That's a big one.
For good guys, it's redemptions. For heels, it's revenge.
I will have my revenge.
You don't hear any like good guys being like, I'm going to have revenge. I guess they do sometimes when they're like really mean about it or whatever. But yeah, AJ Styles gets the win. But in a main event segment, Mikey, after the match.
Main event segment.
Mikey, do you remember what happened in the men's Money in the Bank match with Roman Reigns?
I believe the Fiend showed up, yes?
Correct. Mid-match, attacked Roman at the top of the ladder. After the match between Roman Reigns and AJ Styles, where Roman Reigns is getting up, there's still 5 minutes left on the clock till, what is it, 11:59 or whatever the crap. That's not 5 minutes, whatever. After the match, the Firefly Funhouse intro begins.
We're really glad that you're our friend. Very good.
Is there a trap remix of that yet?
You know what's funny? It's actually like a real song.
Oh, I know. I heard it's a real
song.
That
they licensed?
Yeah,
interesting.
I'm just wondering where the trap remix is. You just Google trap remix and it exists.
Also, I realized the other day that I have the stuff in, like, my room to just, like, do, like, a Bray Wyatt, like, closet cosplay, and I kind of want to do it.
You have a scary clown mask?
No, not the Fiend.
Oh,
Bray Wyatt.
Oh, I see. Makes sense.
I have like a red sweater, just like black jeans. I have the boots.
Ooh, oh, that works. The intro begins, and on the screen is Bray Wyatt waving towards the screen. Hiya, kids, and a big hello to you too, Roman Reigns. Now I know what everyone's thinking. Why did I attack Roman Reigns? Then the other characters in the Firefly Funhouse start asking to be called on, like, ooh, me. Mercy the Buzzard says because he's the top dog in WWE. Huskus asks if it's because he can finally get back at the Shield. Ramblin' Rabbit comes in and says, no, dog, it's because we're jealous that he was the chosen one while we kept failing and failing. Bray Wyatt then says, yowie wowie. then there is a knock on the door, you know, that sort of door behind thing. Ramblin' Rabbit and all the other characters get scared and they all quickly leave. Bray goes to the door and then it sort of explodes open, and standing there is the boss puppet.
I knew it.
Which says, if you lose, you're fired. Ramblin' Rabbit then pops up wearing a suit jacket and terrified and says, yes, boss. Then Bray Wyatt stands up wearing a suit jacket over his Mr. Rogers attire.
I love it.
Bray Wyatt says, you heard the boss. Roman, we've both been given chance after chance to succeed, and somehow you always seem to heal from your failures, while he always got hurt from his failures. But the boss is demanding that we ensure your failure hurts you, Roman. So... we're corporate now. We've got stocks, portfolios. I got a corner office down the road. Bray Wyatt then drinks from a mug labeled World's Number One Fiend. And there's a little merch opportunity. Then Ramblin' Rabbit comes in and says that the Fiend is going to kill Roman, to which Bray spits out his coffee. Bray hushes up Rabbit. Bray Wyatt then says... when you're desperate for something, you'll do anything for it. Isn't that right, Roman? And he's desperate to hurt you, Roman. So, like we all know, let him in.
Let me in.
There we go, baby. Corporate Ooh. Fiend.
Ooh, corporate Fiend is interesting.
Yes. That's my main event segment, baby.
I love it. I think that's awesome. I'm super into this. I do have a question, though, Ryan.
Yes. What's that?
We didn't really do this much when we were booking SmackDown together. How is it booking the Fiend?
Very difficult. It took me like maybe 30 minutes to write that promo, because I was like just sitting there thinking about like, okay, Bray Wyatt. Fiend character Firefly, because remember, like, we sort of did like early Fiend, remember, back in the day, like we sort of
we kind of did the Fiend, we almost came
up with the idea of Bray Wyatt turning heel and becoming this like ultra violent person, and then we found out a couple months later that the Fiend exists, and we're like, oh well, I guess we sort of predicted that.
Here we are.
And then now here I have to legit write like the Fiend in Firefly Funhouse. And this Money in the Bank was the first time I used the Fiend. So this is like the first time using Firefly Funhouse stuff. It took me forever. Cause I was like, you know, there's so much like people that talk about the in-depth discussion about this whole world, the Firefly Funhouse. So I had to figure out the voice of Bray Wyatt here. And figure out the voice of like the care, some of the care, like it was like incredibly difficult to be like, okay, what would happen here in a Firefly Funhouse segment that would make sense in the scope of Firefly Funhouse segments?
Okay.
While doing the thing I wanted to do, which is corporate Bray Wyatt.
Corporate Bray Wyatt.
Or Corporate Fiend. Because I came up with the idea. I was like, I remembered Corporate Undertaker, and I was like, okay, there we go. Corporate Fiend, here we go. Works great with the Fiend. Works great with Roman Reigns and the whole boss thing. Which literally was a direct callback. I literally just copied and pasted this. The if you lose, you're fired.
That's crazy.
So yeah, it is incredibly difficult to write for the Fiend. I don't like it. I don't like it because it's like, oh, everything else is like you sort of write a babyface promo or a heel promo. Here's like you're writing like a weird ass shit.
For me, the thing about writing for the Fiend is that you have to get into not only a good booking mindset, you have to get into the head of Bray Wyatt because he's the one who I'm assuming he's the one who does all of the writing for the Fiend, you know?
Yeah, him or, and maybe like a writer or whatever, one some other writer.
Yeah, so like I can't even imagine. That would be tough.
It's a specific stylization that is wildly different from everything else on the show.
Yeah.
So like writing these like weirdly childish, nonsensical things, segments are incredibly difficult, and it took me a very long time to do. And I know, and now I know that like I'm fucking doing a storyline with the Fiend forever, mm-hmm. and I have to figure out like okay what I'm gonna do. And you know, I already have like the scope of where I want to go. That classic thing that you always talked about like throwing in javelins in the field and trying to get to a javelin,
mm-hmm.
Trying to get to a marker. So I have the markers in my head. I have a lot of markers in my head. My brain's all rotted out because of all the marker smell. So I just have to figure out how to get there. That includes me writing more Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt segments, and I'm not excited about it, but I got to do it because that's the job I dealt myself, I guess. The book I wrote. Does that make sense? Anyways.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so that's my Monday Night Raw. Starting off with a Becky Lynch pregnancy announcement, ending with Corporate Fiend. So, you know, everything's classic. Everything is classic over here.
Classic.
So let's back over to SmackDown, Mikey. Roderick Strong got injured for a week, and he had to make a gimmick match.
Yes.
I feel like you've been looking at the card for a long time, trying to figure out what you're doing. Have you come up with a decision?
I have. So, the stipulation I am adding to one of the matches, the gimmick, if you will, I'm adding a no DQ match to Ruby Riott versus Candice LeRae.
Oh, interesting. Why that?
After what happened at Money in the Bank, I thought it was a good stipulation because it was a kind of extreme thing that happened. And I think that Candice LeRae would want some sort of big revenge on Ruby Riott. So I went no DQ. And also it lets Undisputed Era interfere a little more cleanly.
Yes, that's very much true. That's very much true. I'm interested. Okay. So we got a new no DQ match versus Candice LeRae and Ruby Riott. That the finish is still the same?
Yeah, finish is still the same.
Adam Cole holds Candice LeRae down so Ruby Riott can hit a Riott kick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like it. Okay, well, there you go, folks. Those are our SmackDowns. Those are our Raws. You can go to our Twitter right now, which is at HitTheBooksPod on Twitter, and you can vote in the poll that is there pinned on our front page of our profile. What that means is you can go to the profile, and basically you can vote on which card you liked more. Did you like Mikey's SmackDown with the Women's Tag Team title match in the main event? Or do you like my Raw, which had Styles and Roman Reigns in the main event? You can go to Twitter, again, Twitter at HitTheBooksPod, and vote in that poll right now. It'll be up for about 36 hours or so. Mikey, anything to say before I close this out?
I hope you vote for me, and I hope I did a good job this time. I really like my card, and I'm very happy with how it turned out on the Return Home show. We got a lot of storylines brewing for Backlash, and I'm very excited to continue forward.
Mikey taking his opportunity to do a call out to fans. I hope you please vote for me. And
I mean, if you want, you could just send that little vote on Twitter my way. You know, not toward the Raw way, but you know, I would like that randomizer again.
Yes, Mikey doesn't want to go for, or Mikey doesn't want to lose another one.
I don't want to go, what is it, like 4 weeks in a row getting randomized?
Yes. Because it's like, I was thinking about it. It's, you got, what is it, episode one, we both randomized each other.
Yeah.
Episode two, I lost, or I lost episode one, so I lost, so I had to hit the randomizer on me. Then you had to hit your randomizer, you had to get randomized 3 and 4, also at Money in the Bank, and then today, twice.
So please don't hit me with, what, 6 in a row now that would be then?
Yeah, it's not looking great, so you can vote for Mikey. Or you can vote for, obviously, the superior Monday Night Raw, and vote there, and, you know, vote for Corporate Fiend.
Ouch.
Ouchie. Ouchie pouchy. Yowie wowie. So you can vote there. You can subscribe to the podcast feed of your choice, so you can listen to this show and some of our other, many of our other bonus shows as well, like Wrestling of Statistics, every Monday, where we sort of look at the world of professional wrestling through the lens of stats and analytics with Pro Wrestling Musings on Twitter.
Heck yeah.
You can also leave a review, which we would greatly appreciate. You just leave a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app, and, you know, we'll see it. We can shout you out when we read it out loud or whatever. And we'll, you know, obviously greatly appreciate it if you leave a review saying how much you like the show. Because we would love you for it. What else? Oh, I said follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also, we're also on, housed on Red Circle right now, which you can technically donate to. So if you like, really, really like what we're doing, you can, of course, donate on through Red Circle. There's a link in the podcast description.
Yes.
You can donate there if you like. Send some money our way, especially during these trying times.
I
hate saying that phrase. But of course, you don't have to. We would just appreciate it if you did. No presh.
None at all.
So again, thank you everybody for listening to this week's episode of Hit the Books. We will be back next week for another SmackDown versus Raw booking. Until then, for Mikey, I have been Ryan. Thank you everybody so much. We've got two words for ya.
Book it.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.